This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
The end in themselves, it is to draw attention. After this had happened, Peter began to preach, say a lot of things. Because one of the impacts of the coming of the Holy Spirit is that the apostles, the disciples, were able to understand what exactly Jesus was saying. In other words, there were several things that Jesus spoke about that they did not understand until the Holy Spirit came. If you read the book of John, you will see that the book of John was written in hindsight. Anyway, all of the other books were written actually in hindsight, but the language of the book of John is obviously post-resurrection. In fact, the language of the book of John is not just post-resurrection, it's post-Pentecost. Reading through it, especially if you come upon John chapter 7 around verse 32, the man was speaking. He said, on that great day, the final day of the feast, Jesus rose up and said, whosoever thirsts, let him come and drink. And after you have drank, out of your belly now shall flow rivers of living water. And that is not my point. My point now is that the man now made a commentary. There was a commentary he added. That commentary gave us insight into the plane from whence he was writing his own gospel. As a matter of fact, theologians divided the gospel into two. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are on one side. Then John is on his own. Because John didn't just write an account. John wrote about a person. Everything about Jesus, he wrote it. In fact, John was the one that properly showed us, you know, people like Luke, with Mark, Matthew is telling us about his power, his servanthood, and all those kind of things. John was telling us that the person that walks amongst us is not a human being. That's how he started. Is it not true? If you ask me, that's my opinion anyway. The greatest prophet that ever lived, I will tell you, is John. And it so happened that the same John is the one that wrote the Gospel of John, and finally the book of Revelation. And if you look at these books, you will find out that they have more or less the same language. He came to verse 1 and said, in the beginning was the Word. We didn't know the beginning until John said it. We don't know when that beginning was. That beginning is not when the world was created. That's not the beginning. So that means, I went to preach in a crusade many years ago, and I cannot forget the topic of my sermon that day. The topic is the chronicle of two prophets. I was contrasting and comparing the ministry of Moses the prophet and John the prophet, considering the account in the book of Genesis and the account in the book of John. There are several things you will not understand about the creation account until you read the book of John. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
There is an intention that is in the heart of God, and the fall of man so affected it that God himself have to come and bring what we call redemption. 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 Redemption is what we now call give your life to Christ and then they start building you and all that. Now, have you ever asked a question? What if man did not sin? doesn't mean that there is no plan that God has for humanity. Are you getting the point? There is something already in his heart. Now, let me tell you something. Listen, several things that is the focus of ministry wouldn't have been a matter if the fall did not occur. For example, healing. For example, your food, your clothes. That's how, when Jesus came, he told them, you people are missing it. He said, in the book of Matthew, he said, seek ye first, what? The kingdom. That's where we are supposed, that's the main thing. And then, all these other things will follow you. He said, don't be bothered on what you are going to wear. Don't be bothered on what you are going to eat. Don't be bothered on many of those things. Do you know why? Assuming there was no fall, what you are going to eat won't be your problem. The question is, how was Adam moving around before the fall? Have you considered it? He named every animal. He was moving everywhere. What car was he using? Man of God. Is it the latest Benz? I prefer to be transported that way Adam was transported than inside the best car. Because even that best car can have an accident. The best aeroplane. Hi. When you fly in an aeroplane for 5 hours, you get tired. You will no more enjoy it. You know, the people, there are people that still enjoy it too. But me, as soon as I enter, I will say, Lord, is there a way I can enter? And my wife told me the same thing. Is there a way I can enter this aircraft and come out immediately in Zambia? I don't even have. There are people, you snap, you say, we are now here, we are now here, and we are on our way. Oh. Until I land, I'll now say thank God. So once I enter, it's the project that is in my mind. I don't know why. I don't enjoy flights. I was thinking I'm the only one. I found out that my wife too doesn't enjoy flights. Unfortunately, we are sentenced to it. So I'm asking, how was Adam moving around? How big is Eden? I don't know how. But if you ask me, we'll consider how Philip moved. Are you seeing it now? The witch in your village will come and pay you visit by 12 a.m. in the night. 12:00. How did he move? You have not asked that question. How did the witch move? My point is that the fall made us, there are several things we don't know how it properly works as a result of the fall. Are you healthy? I want to ask us physically, are you healthy? There is no human being like health. Are you healthy? Healthy. What are we going to ask now? That's a confession of faith. And it's true. But if we carry you to a doctor and put you through all kinds of scan, radiography scan, CT scan, all kinds of tests, there is no human that can pass through the test of medical doctors without finding one sickness. You see it? When you are saying, I live in sound health, you don't know the health that Adam had before the fall. That's what I'm trying to show you now. Your sound health, there was small headache yesterday. Is that one sound health? You now said, I carry the Holy Spirit. I'm the thing now left. But before then, the life that they had was a human life, but it was powerful enough to sustain Methuselah for 900 and something years. To sustain him for 900 and something years, that means we lost a lot. The reason why I read, let me read it again. I hope I've read it. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted, that when the times of refreshing, are you seeing it now? This kind of meeting and season is called the times of refreshing. From the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now look at verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The key word there is restitution. You can exchange restitution with restoration. You can also exchange it with recovery. So there are things you can use interchangeably. Restitution, number two, recovery, is restoration. Restoration. This matter I'm teaching you is not common. It is not commonly understood in the body of Christ. But an average Jew, that is his burden. In fact, Jesus was saying, asking him questions. Come. Because the mandate of Elijah is not a human. He's a system in the spirit. And the mandate that Elijah carries is to restore all things. So they were asking him a question. When shall Elijah come? He said, Elijah indeed shall all things. Are you getting where I'm going? I'm trying to show you something. The plan and purpose of God is plain. But many times, because he's dwelling in a realm, you will have to receive an insight from the Holy Spirit to see exactly what God is doing. Your power in executing your mandate, your destiny and ministry is dependent on your understanding of the basic project, the eternal purpose that is in the heart of God. Every other thing revolves around it. If you are with me so far, say amen. If you don't understand it, if there is a country, a nation that doesn't understand the ultimate project, the eternal project that is in the heart of God. Jesus came to a point and he said that it is not only humans that are, there are two kinds of people that can come into the folds. There are two folds that people and nations can take in the project of God. There is the sheepfold. This fold now can contain people and it can contain nations. Then there is the goat fold. The goat, yes. So you are either a sheep or you are a goat. What did I say? You are either a sheep or you are what? Either what? Or? The same way, a nation like Zambia can either be a goat nation or a sheep nation. That is why, listen to me, sometimes we have to look beyond our personal calling. Are you getting where I'm going now? Let me tell you something. According to church history, there is a nation called Turkey. Turkey. If you have read church history before, Turkey used to be one of the, not just a Christian nation, one of the pillars of Christianity in the whole world. But if you don't hear what I'm teaching you now, if you don't learn priesthood is what it takes to sustain a country, a nation, in God's exact purpose for it. If not, Satan can come and convert a sheep nation to a goat nation. And God cannot work with a goat. If you are goats, God can work with you. If you are not just goat individuals, goat nations. Now, you can look in the world now and you will see that there are several goat nations. Huh? Anytime Satan wants to walk, he will always rise from there. Is it not true? That means that souls of nations can come into contention. And when the souls of nations come into contentions, then God have to raise competent priesthood to contend in high places. That is the purpose of God raising the church. That is what the scripture said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Paul was the one speaking. He said, me that is the least, is this grace committed to, the grace that makes all men see. Said, to the intent, are you getting the point? To the intent that the principalities and powers might be made known through the church, what is the manifold wisdom of God? The book of Ephesians is a book of warfare. The ultimate believer is a warrior. I know you don't know. And that is why the anointing comes on you to go to war. I can prove it. That's what we have been reading. That's what the scripture is trying to say in the book of Acts chapter 2. When he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until what? I make your enemy. God told, the father told the son, sit down. Don't do anything until I subdue all your enemies. Now, when we get to the book of Psalms chapter 110, because when God said I will subdue your enemies, we need to know how and through who. Are you getting the point? The who is the church. That's what Paul is trying to teach in the whole of Ephesians. The whole message contained in the book of Ephesians is that the church is a militant church. That's what Kenny Hagin told us. The church is a militant church. It is a church that is supposed to dominate. It is a church that is supposed to conquer. On that day, the purpose of God that is in the book of Genesis will be achieved. That is the day of restoration. So, Paul started in Ephesians and started laying the foundation. When he came to a point, he said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's when he said, oh, Paul, oh, this is what you want to say. You should have told us from the beginning. No, I'm not here to teach warfare. But there are three postures you need to take for you to engage warfare. The sitting position, the walking position, and then the standing position. If you don't know how to sit well, you can't stand well. A man that have not sat well, because if you start the book of Ephesians, you will be hearing, we are seated with Christ, we are this, with him. So you will notice that the first three chapters is about your in Christ realities. The first three chapters is about all Jesus has done and you did not do anything. Is it not true? Just go and read Ephesians. You can finish it in an hour. You can do it this night. How Jesus has died, paid for you, washed you with his blood, forgave you, cleansed you, and delivered you, healed you, took you from where you are, took you to heavenly places, put you in the same plane with him, gave you power over Satan. You did not do anything before you had power over Satan. Are you seeing it now? So that is your sitting position. A man have to realize what God has done in Christ and handed over to him. Amen. Are you getting the point? Amen. If not, a day will come. If a man doesn't sit well, a day will come. Satan will push you out of where you are and deal with you. For example, a brother is just telling me now that he just remembered that when he was small, that their housemaid used to abuse him and try to have sexual knowledge with him. Now he has forgotten it and he's moving on. The young man is powering in God now. Satan now brought this thing back. This thing can never come from this one now that he remembered, can never come from God. Your past is under the blood of Jesus. Anybody that is bringing your past up can be God. It's only Satan that can do that. Listen to me. Guilt is not the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, not guilt. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, no matter how high you grow as a man of God or as a vessel in the hand of God, you cannot outgrow this, your sitting position. Because a day, Satan can shake you. The Holy Spirit can even tell you, look at this sick person, pray for him. And Satan will tell you, look at you, you have not prayed the last 3 days. And you want to come and pray for somebody. Huh? We are talking of people that God will use. You are coming out. He will start reminding you of several bad things you have ever done in this world. And will convince you that you cannot be used by God. He's a liar. He's not just a liar. He's the father of liars. Now, on that day, you need tools that can only be generated from your sitting position. The tools of the blood, the tools of the word, the tools of what Jesus have done. You will tell him that I'm not coming in my name, I'm coming in the name of Jesus. And I used to ask that, how did you see me? You should be seeing only Jesus. In case anything, I said, I hide behind the name. The only way what you are saying can happen is if you are contending with me, is between you and me. But it's not between me and you, it's between you and Jesus. And I know the outcome. Jesus and Satan is not contending over your life, destiny, affairs, and the warfare, the witchcraft in my family. No, he has been defeated. The reason why we are praying is to enforce the defeat. When we fight, we are not fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory. We know the outcome. When you contend with Satan, contend with destiny, the sitting position tells you the outcome before you start. That's what we call sitting position. You already know the outcome. The outcome is victory before you start. If you are not sure and sure and sure and sure, that means your sitting position has not been certified. It has not been ratified. It has not been stamped. You need to go back again. Basic things. You cannot outgrow it. You can't outgrow mercy. You can't outgrow forgiveness. You can't outgrow. Those things are basic, but as you are growing, you will still need it. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Then when you advance further in the book of Ephesians, the man of God started talking about the walking. Now, this is a spiritual language. And the person that wrote the book of Ephesians actually referenced the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1. Is it not true? Let me read it for you quickly. Remember, we are in Acts. And it's not Acts that I came to read for you today. I came to read 1 Samuel chapter 6. So the reason why I'm telling you, so that you will help me to finish what I... If I don't finish it, I will go back to Nigeria, and then the Holy Spirit will help the pastors to finish. There is no way I can finish it. Look at that Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of what? The ungodly. So the first posture here is what? Walk. Number two, nor standeth in the way of what? Sinners. The second posture here is what? Stand. Nor seated in the seat of what? The scornful. So the man, you know, revelations are parallel. All the revelations that Paul had, he actually drew it from source codes. You are here, you are a programmer. Is that man? Do you have issue with your eyes? Well, you are sleeping now. Am I the only one notice? You are not. Well, your eyes has been closed 3 times. I saw you. The problem is that I'm seeing you. If I'm not seeing you, I don't have problem. Yes, everybody is free with what the way he wants to live his life. You can only bring the horse to water. You can't force him to drink. If you are here, focus on what we are doing. If you leave, you do another thing. Amen.
Amen.
You are here, you are a programmer. Computer programmer. Good. You know, when they finish programming and they come and say, put your name here, do this here, and you just be pressing your phone and things are coming out. That app you are using, you need to know what is behind the app. There are codes. They are called source codes. So for every information, for every instruction that you followed, there is a code that is behind it. Are you with me now? But what people see in the open is just those instructions. You see, wow, the wonderful page and all that. Just click enter and the open. And if they tell you what is behind enter, sometimes the programmer can labor for 1 week just to generate how that enter can relate with the code that he has written. He has finished writing the code, but he needs to make it in such a way that the gateway can be accessed. But you come and press enter and you open enter. No, the labor behind the enter is serious labor. So that means for every app that you used, if you are a computer enthusiast and you want to understand the history behind it, you have to visit the source code. So the book of Ephesians, for we to understand the three postures that a believer need to take in spiritual warfare, we need to visit Psalms chapter 1. That's where the source code is. And almost all the apostles and epistles borrowed their revelation from the Old Testament. You know, I used to hear people and they say that the Old Testament is old, is the law is old, that we're in the Pauline revelation. The question is, where did Paul get his revelation from? Your challenge is not Old Testament. You don't have Google. There is a way to study Bible. If you want, sometimes, if God wants to improve your teaching ministry, he gives you a new tool in the spirit. It's a lens, a magnifying lens. When you put it in your eye, the scripture will become big. You'll be seeing what others are not seeing. Yeah. You can stay in one verse for 2 hours. Yeah. That means you have lens. Yeah. That's what Paul had. Yeah. He will be looking at the scripture you are reading as story, and he's bringing out the mind of God in it. Yeah. Look at what he said there. Peter said, as all the holy prophets said. It means that every single thing that all the things that he said from Genesis to Malachi, he's speaking about the Christ and his kingdom. That's what he said. All the holy prophets are saying the same thing. They're not saying two things. Everybody that ever spoke for God is saying one thing. But you are not seeing it. You say it's Hosea. This is what Hosea said. This is what Amos said. When you go to heaven, they will tell you it's one language. The Spirit of Christ. It was John that said in the book of Revelation that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means that all prophecy testifies about Jesus. That the basic element that you need to find in prophecy to determine its authenticity is whether it is mirroring Christ. If there is no Christ in it, even if it's correct, it's wrong. Accuracy in prophecy is not a proof that it is correct. It's in the Bible. Now, that woman following Paul, he said, these are the men that lead you to the way of salvation. What he said, is it not correct? There is no way you can judge that thing and say that the man is wrong. There is no way. It is the Spirit. What makes a prophet false is not first his words, it is his spirit. Because the words can be correct. Those days when we are small, they say that they can't say Jesus. They can say Jesus now. So it's the spirit. You have to go beyond the scene and find out the spirit with which they are functioning. And the spirit that is not of Christ. That's what the scripture was saying in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When Paul was bringing them balance on the matter of manifestation of spiritual gifts. Everybody need to... When you read that thing about spiritual gift. People think that Paul is just trying to tell people to function. No, he's trying to bring order in the functioning in gifts. Because he has found out that a lot of people used word of knowledge as a soothsayer. How do I say it? Sangoma. Is it not correct? Imagine somebody that functioned by that spirit, now God born again. You need to read what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because he said, I give you to know that anybody speaking by the Holy Spirit cannot call Jesus accursed. That means Jesus is the focal point. He said, the reason why he's telling them this thing is because he knew that they are conversant with spiritual things. Before they got born again, they have touched power before. Are you getting the point? So because they have touched power, he needed to teach them that even though the manifestation looks the same, that this one is not powered by that spirit you used to know. And there are ways to know that if this one is by God, that the testimony is Jesus. That's the purpose of that book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The purpose is utterance. You will notice that the man focused only on the speaking gift, the utterance gift. From chapter 12 to chapter 14, the emphasis is on utterance gift. He mentioned the remaining, but focused on utterance gift. Up until 14, he was still saying, I pray in tongues. It is still utterance. Let's move one step backwards. Is it not true? When you move one step backwards, we'll find ourselves in source code. So the source code is in Psalms chapter 1. There are three levels of warfare. The walking that you engage as the believer is the kind of life that you need to live so that you will not be vulnerable to attacks of Satan. Are you seeing it now? I was telling somebody something in the counseling session. One of the weaknesses of women in ministry is the matter of spiritual authority and submission. If a woman called into ministry, Satan will tempt you with it. In fact, this is what I know. In fact, before my father died, he called me and taught me. I didn't understand it well. My mother is one of the most powerful women I've ever seen. There is literally nothing that stood before her that she did not conquer. But there is something she didn't know that my father knew. It is authority. It is very hard for a woman to understand authority, spiritual authority, and that is why it became a commandment in the context of marriage. Yes. In the same way, it's hard for a man to understand love. If you want to know love, ask women. They are the ones that know love. That's why love is not a commandment for them. A man doesn't really know. You need to explain to a man what he doesn't know when he is loving. He doesn't know when he has loved. A man doesn't know when he has loved. Yeah? It's just that he'll be moving. One day he will realize that, I actually love you. If you are a man and you have, it's true. And that is why if you respect a man, submit to him, do some of those things in the Bible, the man will say, my wife is a loving wife. And all that. Women don't understand it. They think that what makes a man say, I love you, is maybe when you can say, Danny, you bring money for food, no matter how much you bring for food, all those things you are doing. And a man cannot sense, he feels that his masculinity has left. He will reject that thing you are giving him. Because that's what he describes, that's what he sees as love. In the same way, no matter how much car, all these big things you buy for your wife, and you are not present, no attention, no love, no affection, the woman will say, my husband doesn't love me. See, but he's rich, he has money, he gives you everything. You see, that's what a woman does. That's why for the man, the love is a commandment. For the woman,
Submission is a commandment.
Don't say what you noticed. Just keep it in your heart. Amen. Hey! Let me change topic. The reason why I went to where I went is because the scripture spoke in the book of, I think, Corinthians, either 2 Corinthians. He told the woman to cover her head. What does it mean? What does it mean to cover? You know, many people don't know. I'm looking for somebody that has a scarf. Like that, my sister, that has. Is that what it means to cover head? No, 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 no. For you to really understand what the scripture is saying, look at the purpose. He told them, because of angels. So, let's leave what he said. Let's analyze purpose. So, listen. As a woman, there are several things you will do and you will not be recognized in the spirit. It is general day-to-day activity. But a day will come, you will engage something spiritual and then you'll be seen in the heavens. So certain angels, not just God's angels, fallen angels too. There are princes over lands and territories. I tell you truth in God. Ooh, there are things you will see. That's why sometimes God allows us. The best thing to do is to live by faith. I don't know why people want to be prophet. They want to see. There is a way you will see, you will stop doing things. You will be too afraid to do anything. But if you walk by faith, demons can feel here. You don't even know. All you know is that God told you to walk. You just walk through it. And nothing will happen to you. Is it not true? If you want to clap, clap. Amen. That's the power of faith. But once you start seeing, like my father was a prophet. He used to, his own is too much. He will go to the market. He said he's seeing people, their leg is not touching the ground. Some people, their head is up. He said, God, reduce it. This thing is too much. Because he's no more normal. He can't live normal. It's better to live by faith. There are things you see, your faith will leave you. There are demons you see, you will stop ministry. I'm telling you, heavy people, broad chested. Pastor, live by faith. Oh. Don't be in a hurry to see. Just live by faith. God knows what he's doing by allowing you to only see what is important. Should I even tell you? Satan wants you to see. Yes, he wants you to see how the beast, having 5 horns, having 10, what's my business? In the name of Jesus. Ouch! That's my business. But if you see it, you say, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure Jesus will walk? Let me combine the name of Jesus with anointing oil and holy water. And then let me copper you. Your faith will leave you. And guess what? When you now mention the name of Jesus after that thing, it will not produce results. Because your faith has been punctured. So this is what happens. When a woman rises in the spirit to do business, first thing they check is to check whether you have a covering spirit authority over you. And when they find that you have authority over you, they check your alignment with that authority. And the first authority a married woman has is the husband, not even your pastor self. So this is what happens to my mother. I'm not telling you to believe. Let me use my own story. My mother is a warrior. She will go to war in the spirit. Destroy things. She will win the war, but they will give her injury. The injury will be manifested in a chronic sickness that no drug can cure. If you check several women of God, that is their problem. Either their business suffer, their marriage suffer, their health suffer. Something is suffering that all their prayer cannot solve. They will go and pray for somebody concerning the same issue and have results. Their own will remain. It is traced to an authority you violated. Now, Satan will not tell you. You will not know. And you will continue like that. You will die on the sick bed with your anointing as a woman. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Now, if I say this, it seems as if I'm giving the men power. No. That is why before you marry, marry well. Marry somebody that has a head too. Your husband should be submitted well to your pastor.
Yes.
Very important. Are you seeing where I'm going now? No, you don't come. I love you. I love you. Whoa. Don't fall in love. The Bible says walk in love. Don't fall in love. Walk in love. You will not see fall in love in the Bible. I don't know why people are falling in love. I know you don't like what I said, but I don't care. Okay, if you find where the Bible commanded you to fall in love, show me in your Bible. Have you found it? Search now and find it. Me, I'm a Bible person. The Bible, the boundary of my experience is the scripture. If there is an opinion I have and scripture has a counter opinion, I drop my opinion. That is what it means for you to be a believer. It's not holding your opinion. You read Bible, you say, I believe, but not this side. The Bible did not reach. Let me hold this one. I believed enough. There are people like that. They believe the Bible, but there are exemptions in the scripture that the Bible doesn't have that much authority in their life concerning those issues. You are not yet a believer. You see it? If there are several heads that people, head is authority, simple, that people should have in life, for example, Christ is your head. That one, we are sure that Christ is our overall head and his head is correct. Don't submit under a head that is not correct. The second one is probably your pastor. Make sure that your pastor's head is correct too. Very important. I'm not going there. Hey. Then the other head is the head of your husband. Because if your husband lands under a good pastor, there are many things he can do. Even